Paid for by IMIC Incorporated.
The Cure with Amy Cabo is brought to you by IMIC Research. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us today. This is The Cure, and I'm your host, Amy Cabo. This is The Biz at 880 AM. You can listen online at www.880thebiz.com or download the app, 880 AM The Biz. You could also ask Alexa through iHeartRadio to play 880 The Biz. This show covers topics that deal with trauma, abuse, mental illness, common misconceptions, treatments, and healing options. Basically, I started this show because I found the need for people. I saw a lot of people suffering around me. And I, for one, thought that because I've had difficult challenges in my life, and I have been abused, and I have gone through domestic violence and many different challenges scenarios like custody battles and rape, and I've learned to overcome it. And my way of trying to help others is by sharing my ways that I was able to overcome this. But also what I do is I look for other people that have something that they can help and bring to the table, other opinions, other medical professionals or podcasters or testimonials or inspirational speakers. And that's what I like to do. Today, I am joined by my husband, Dr. Nikolov, Dr. Boris Nikolov. How are you? And I have a very special guest today that is a podcaster. Her podcast is called Surviving Abuse. She's also an author of the book Looking Behind Closed Doors, Domestic Abuse. If we don't change, nothing changes. Welcome, Mickey Zada. Hello, Mickey. How are
Hi,
you?
Hi, Amy. I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you for being here. So, Mickey, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came into this line of work, what brought you to this, and what you can share with us, because I'd like to help everyone as much as possible. What may have worked for me may not work for someone else. So the more of us that bring ideas, then the more people that we can help. So what are your methods, Mickey?
Well, hi. You know, gosh, where to start? I lived in domestic abuse for 34 years. I say I stayed way too long at the dance. And what's interesting about that is that I could have come out of that feeling like a victim, that I had wasted 34 years or that I had allowed myself to be abused for 34 years. But I chose to take a different tack. I chose that once I left my abuser to, what I say is I put myself in a repair shop for 5 years. I hired coaches, I hired counselors, I took classes, I was on webinars. I did whatever I could to change me because I knew exactly what you said, Amy. If I don't change, nothing changes. Because think about your friends or think about yourself, think about a family member. Often we women, and men too, but women are my niche, women go from, well, let's say that she marries an abuser or she marries an alcoholic, she marries a drug addict, and she's there for a few years and then she leaves. And guess what? In a couple of years, she marries another one, just like that. Another abuser, another alcoholic, another drug abuser, another personal or physical abuser, whatever. And she divorces that person and she marries another one. Well, what's the common denominator there? Well, it's us, right? It's the person making the choices. So I realized that if I was going to make better choices, I had to be a different person. And that's what I did. I went to work changing me. I say that many women who leave a domestic abuse, which is my area of expertise, women who leave domestic abuse tend to, well, let me say this, not everybody, but a lot of people, I say they build condos in victimhood. And they move right in there, and they spend all this time festering and feeling bad and blaming other people and not taking any responsibility, not working on themselves. They just live there in that little condo in victimhood, and they build their lives there, and I think that's sad. So I part of my mission is to help women identify that victimhood mentality and make a choice. And I can't do that work for them. As you know, Amy, we have to do our own work. I can provide the impetus. I can provide the inspiration. I can, my podcast interviews lots of women who have lived in domestic abuse. I bring on women just like you who live in domestic abuse, but who end up in strong, being strong and focused, successful. I say living in their authentic lives. And so that's pretty much me. That's what I do now.
Well, the thing is, Mickey, I've come to realize that nobody is exempt from suffering. If anything in life I believe is guaranteed, is that people suffer. I don't know of anything else that can be guaranteed. And as such, we need to know how to survive it and how to go past it and live through it. And I know that I wasn't always in a place where I thought I need to do the right thing or that I felt that I loved myself enough to even do the right thing. For me, what worked was faith in God, believing that He would always provide, that even when things went wrong, something was bound to give. And I always initiated prayer in my life. Because there was a point in my life, Mickey, I just had no one. I didn't have a friend to give me advice. I didn't have parents. I didn't have sisters. I didn't have no one. I was alone in the world. And I had a little girl to take care of, custody battles to fight, and classes that I couldn't fail. And it was just, to me, I had no other choice but to turn to God. And because I turned to God, I found strength in God. Because I learned that I had to live my life according to how Jesus taught us the ways that we were supposed to behave. There's a yin-yang philosophy that says where there is light, darkness must exist. And some of us have strayed from our values, our beliefs, even God. I know I've been there in my life. I know I've strayed away. I haven't always done the right thing. But you know what's been a constant? You know what's been my constant relationship, my longest relationship, has been God. And I know that someone that I can turn to, even when I don't feel I'm good enough, even when I don't feel like I love myself enough, even when I feel like it's hopeless, like there's no point in making my situation better. Because sometimes people in a bad situation just give up. They don't think they deserve any better. And once they realize that there is a higher being that's always there, that loves them unconditionally, somebody, it kind of gives them a purpose. It's saying somebody cares, somebody's there. And that's making what worked for me. I don't know about you, Bobby. I mean, when I met Bobby, I'll tell you, he didn't even go to church. Right, Bobby?
Yes, you were my inspiration to do that.
He didn't even have any problems in his life.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here. But anyway, something that Mickey said that really impressed me about the victimhood, and then, you know, some people just go with the victim thing, and I really wanted to talk about that because it's a really good point that we were actually talking before. We shouldn't label people that had suffered as victims, because that's not exactly, I mean, they are victims, but maybe the better way to put it is that they suffered something instead of being a victim. Right, Mickey? What do you think?
I think that's true. I think it's, yes, absolutely. But I think the victim part comes in because I believe we have a choice. We have a choice that we can make our lives better. My choice, and speaking to what Amy was saying earlier, while I was married, any talk of God or any kind of belief or reliance on a higher power was not tolerated. Not tolerated. So for me to change my life, part of that was starting to go to church, starting to turn back to God, knowing I don't have to do this by myself. And that's a lot of it. And I think that's a lot of victimhood. It's easier to stay a victim if you feel like you're by yourself, that you don't. Easier is not the right word, but it's more common, I think, for people, women, to remain in a more unhealthy position in their lives when they think they're alone. And nobody's alone. All we have to do is open our hearts and open our minds and say, you know, I need some help here. And amazingly, it's there.
Well, there is a lot of support groups, too, even if you don't have families that people can go to.
And that's not only the only thing, that maybe they don't feel like they deserve any better or they don't love each other enough, but it's also what it is they're going through. If they're going through an abuse, such as sexual abuse, there's a taboo in it, or maybe they may feel ashamed of what they're going through. And how about the times that they feel like they may be re-victimized, that they may be judged, that they may not be believed.
All of that's true.
And
you know that. Yes. You live that, Amy. We don't have confidence. We don't think we're going to be believed. And we, it's a frustrating and not a good place to be.
But here's the good news, though, Meg. I have to tell you, when I started really seriously praying every day, and I'm telling you, it takes prayer every day. It really does. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a daily battle. Mm-hmm. But I started seeing things more clearly. And, I mean, I can go into the kind of behaviors that I started realizing were better. And even though I don't read the Bible, I saw a passage that I came across that said, no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And there is a preacher called by the name of Priscilla Schreiber, and she talks a little bit about the constant struggle, the constant fight against evil forces, and the importance of prayer. It's called Be Strong.
The Apostle Paul says, come on, y'all, pull the curtain back. Let the enemy know that you got your eyes on him, that you realize he's the one behind the scenes causing the strife in your marriage and struggle in your finances and difficulty on your job and turmoil in your own heart and in your own mind, and that you are going to refuse from this point forward to direct the wrong weapons at the wrong culprit. That we're going to decide to use weapons that work and pull the curtain back and let the enemy know we got our eyes on you. That we're not going to let you just keep playing us for the fool. We're not just going to let you run roughshod over our lives and over the people that we love. The Apostle Paul wants to make sure you know how serious this whole situation is, because he says there's a specific word that needs to be used to describe the tactic of the enemy. He says that he is scheming against you. Somebody say schemes.
We're Almond Breeze, and we only use...
Okay. Sorry about that, guys. We are going through a little bit of an intermission. There's a commercial, but this is, I tell you, it's a really important thing to listen to because we do all suffer. Nobody's exempt from suffering, whether it be abuse or a condition or an ailment that you're going through. And prayer is one of the ways that we can overcome this.
Right, girl, don't worry about it. Easy going. But if I find out that somebody has been planning to do me wrong, now that's a whole other thing. When I find out you have been studying me to figure out my tendencies when I come and when I go, that you've been watching me day in and day out so that you can figure out what my weaknesses are and what the tendencies of my flesh are. When I figure out that you've been looking not only into me presently, but you've been trying to dig into my history so that you can figure out what past abuses I've suffered that you can take advantage of in my life today. When I figure out that you're trying to pick the scab of old wounds that have happened in my history so that you can cause me to spill over with anger and bitterness and resentment. When I find out that not only have you been studying me, but you've had your eyes on this man that the Lord has given me to be married to for the past 17 years. You're studying him to find out what his weaknesses are so that you can lead him in his passions astray from me as his wife and these boys as his children. When I find out, not only have you been trying to take advantage of his weaknesses and the proclivities of his flesh, but also you've been looking into his history so that you can figure out how to make his history combust with my history so that we have no unity in our home. And when I find out that not only have you been studying me and this man that the Lord has given me, but you've been studying these three boys that the Lord has given me the privilege to raise into warrior men for Christ, and they will be warriors for Christ or I will spank them. When I find out you've been studying them so that you can take advantage of their fears and their insecurities and their weaknesses, when I find out you are purposefully, intentionally trying to put roadblocks in the way so that they will not be able to walk fully and completely toward the destiny to which the Lord has assigned them, when I find out you've been scheming against me and my own peace of mind and peace of heart and the strength and unity of my marriage and the ability of my sons to walk in victory, when I find out you've been strategizing against me, well, you better believe that if it's a war you want, it's a war you're gonna have. That I'm not just going to stand back and let you play me for the fool. That if you're going to have a strategy against me, I'm going to have a strategy against you. That my prayer life is not just going to be random. That I'm not just going to read a verse a day to keep the devil away. That I'm not just going to go to church because that's what my mama told me I was supposed to do. That I'm going to stand in the gap and make sure that I am a warrior who is letting the devil know that he has no place in my life. So y'all, we got to go to war. Yes. We got to be serious about this. That the enemy shouldn't be able to just walk through our front door. Right. There ought to be a woman who is standing there. Yes. In prayer, a mighty warrior who refuses to let the enemy take advantage of her. So the Apostle Paul says he's scheming against you. You're going to need a strategy against him. He says, I'm going to tell you to put down all of the weapons you have been using that have not been working. They're exhausting you at best. And then he says, I'm going to give you some weapons that work. There are so many of them, or several of them, that we don't have time to go over tonight, but I want you to know, traditionally it is taught that there are six of them. I really got to tell you, I believe there's seven. Because not only does he say in verse 14, to gird your loins with truth, not only does he say you need a breastplate on and it's called righteousness, he says in verse 15, you better have something for your feet They need to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then he says in verse 16, in addition to all, you got to erect a shield over your life, and it's called active faith, trust and belief in God. That's what extinguishes the fiery missiles of the enemy. And then he says in verse 17, you need something to protect your mind from the scheming lies of the enemy that will try to implant his thoughts so that you think they're your thoughts and begin to act in a way that is out of alignment with the word of God. You need a helmet on your head, and it is called your salvation. But not only that, he says you need a sword, a dagger, really, of the Spirit. And the dagger of the Spirit is the Word of God. But he does not stop with those six. He comes along in verse 18 and he says, pray. He says, pray. Y'all, it's the seventh weapon. Prayer does not manipulate God. What prayer does is unlock all of the resources he had planned for you anyway. Prayer is the divinely orchestrated mechanism that has given to us by God so that we don't have to wait to get to heaven, to experience heaven. We can experience heaven while we're right here on planet Earth by simply taking the key of prayer and unlocking the resources of heaven into our everyday experience. If you want to have victory in that area of your life that probably is on your mind or in your heart right now, the one where you most struggle on a daily basis, and you're finding that there's most contention and so many issues and so much drama in that particular area of your life, if you want victory there, and yet you are not a woman or a man of prayer, then I promise you, you will never have the victory that you desire. And if I were the enemy, I would want to devalue in the minds of God's people the power of the most potent weapon I know they have. I would want them to downplay the significance of the one that I knew could wipe me out. I would want to downplay the significance of the one that I knew was going to be the one that was going to blow my cover. I'd want them to do everything but pray. I'd want their religious to-do list to be so filled that at the end of the day, they save those last few minutes for a few words of prayer while they're sitting there by their nightlight, barely keeping their eyes open as they try to say a little lackluster word of prayer. But I wouldn't want them to have a faith-filled, vibrant prayer life where I know my cover is going to be blown. Y'all, prayer is what pushes.
Just remember, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're suffering, prayer keeps you afloat.
Some days, things just take way too much of my energy. I look up and the whole room's spinning. You take my cares away. I can so overcomplicate. People tell me to medicate. Feel my blood running. Swear the sky's falling. I don't know if this fabricated. Time goes by and I can't control my mind. Don't know what else to try. But you tell me every time. Just keep. To see your face.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals from a very sincere and honest position Amy Cabo's life, a warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on www.godisthecure.com or buying her book on amazon.com. And now we continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure on 880 The Biz.
Welcome back to the show. For those who are just tuning in, this is The Cure, and I'm your host, Amy Cabo, on 880 AM The Biz. Today, I'm joined by Miki Zeta of Surviving Abuse. It's a podcast, and Dr. Boris Nikolov. And we have been talking about trauma and basically abuse and recovery. And Miki, I was just speaking to you about circumstances that happen and how we have these negative thoughts in our mind. And I'm thinking, you know, nobody's exempt to suffering. And sadness is very well known. There's a person by the name of Ron Barotono who writes a poem. It's called My Sadness. And this is how some people deal with sadness. Sadness is a part of life. Some people never see. They look at me and I smile back. That's how I'm supposed to be. I hide my tears through sunshine and hide them through the rain, hoping that these people never see the pain. These endless thoughts of sadness lay heavy on my mind. I look upon my faith, dear God, to help me all the time. The part of me that's empty, you fill with so much love. My faith has brought me peace, dear God, sent from up above. So basically, nobody is exempt to sadness or suffering. But it's important to know that there's God, and He'll always be there for us. He's always there for us. And how do we know that our negative way of thinking, the times that we feel that we're not good enough, let's say you get this thought in your mind, I'm not good enough. Well, then you can think, that's okay. God will provide. Wherever I fall short, God will pick up. You can fight it because it doesn't necessarily something that has to be wrong with the person. It doesn't have to be a symptom. See, I believe just like there is good, there is bad, and everything good in my life, I credit it to God, but everything that has gone wrong, I credit to the devil. And all the bad thoughts and all the negative thoughts or the bad feelings that I may get, I realize that they're only momentarily. That yes, life is a constant struggle, and it's okay because there's something good in things being difficult. There's no merit in anything that comes easy. Everything that comes difficult, nothing worth doing comes easy. And I've learned to behave in better ways. And tell me, Miki, in your podcasts, what are the things that you have run into? What are the things that have kept people from maybe moving forward and continuing with life? And what advice could you give us to know how we can better deal with suffering, with these situations that are inevitable?
Well, you're right. Suffering is something. It's the one guaranteed in life. It's always, there's always something there. I have a plaque in my house, and I talk about it often in my podcast and with my coaching clients. I say, my plaque reads, faith in God includes faith in His timing. So as a human being, I look for immediate gratification. I think, I think I can say, hey, God, here's my problem. Will you fix it right now?
And it or will you fix it this way?
Yeah.
We don't always know, do we?
No, we don't. And I just had a young woman contact me, and she said, you know, I'm so weary. I'm so tired. I'm waiting for God to tell me what's going on. And my response was, you know, what I've discovered in my life is that often I ask for help, But and I ask for guidance, and it always comes every single time. It always does, but not in my timing necessarily. That sometimes it takes a while for God to accomplish the things that are happening. And I always pray this or something better, because I might think I know how I want the outcome to be, but so often God's got a much better plan than I do. So I don't always see the things that he's working in my life because they're different from what I expected. And it's sometimes it takes a little longer, but that's part of it. We learn as we go.
Well, it took a pretty long time for me. I think I went through 20 years of different problems, but I'll tell you what, I think I have it covered with God, may your will be done in everything I do in my life and my family and everything, because ultimately it's his will that's perfect. I know we make our mistakes and we're given that option, though. If you allow God to guide you, then things do change for you. You do realize, for example, I used to be the kind of person that I would get confused. You know, I would, just because if I meet someone and they don't react to something in the same way, or they don't think in the same way that I do, I was quick to judge. And I realized through time, through life's experiences, that just because somebody doesn't think the same way or somebody doesn't react in the same way to a situation doesn't mean it's right, wrong, or indifferent. I really don't know if my way is the right way, and I'm no one to judge. And I've learned to live my life like that and always put myself in the other person's shoes to try to understand where they're coming from. I've always tried to be a kind person, to do the right thing. And I have this rosary video that I pray, and it gives you songs in between the prayers, and it gives you a storyline, and it says, bless those who listen to God, you know, who keep God's laws and who keep God's, you know, teachings. So basically, if all of us just lived our life the way that Jesus Christ asked us to live, Mickey, I think things would be so much better. I think things would go so much easier. If you believe everything that's been said, that God will provide, that he doesn't give us anything that we cannot handle, that everything passes, then there's nothing that we cannot overcome. And anything's possible as long as you have God in your life.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. I wouldn't be where I am if I had not come back around to God. I think it's, as I said, it's hard to think that you're doing all this by yourself, and nobody has to feel that way. But it took me a while to come back around to say, okay, God, you're in charge. I'm, you know, it's one of the reasons I don't panic about some of the things that are going on in the world today, because I know God's in charge. It might look weird. It might look like things are crazy, and they are, but I know that God's in charge, so I don't panic too much.
Yeah, that's very important. God, I found God to be extremely helpful and important in my life and everything that I do, I have to tell you, because there's no way that I would have made it through anything, especially when you hit rock bottom. I think you really have to hit rock bottom several times and get to nothing to say, okay, I have no other choice but to believe that you will help me, God, because you will say when you that you will always be there for me and that you will help me if I ask for it and if I need you and if I turn to you and if I seek you. And if you keep praying, eventually he's got to listen. Something's got to give, right? So it's
That's
worth
right.
the fight. I've never learned of anybody who lays in bed all day long and feels bad and feels sad to all of a sudden feel like they've overcome something. You've got to get to a point where you say, I don't want this anymore. I don't want to suffer anymore. I want to be this kind of person. I want to be a blessing to others. I want to set a good example. I want to leave an impression. Even if I'm going to do something, I'm going to make sure I do it right. Because one good thing my mother always said, because I always take the good things and the bad things. I leave behind, but I take the good things. And my mother always said, everything in this world is discovered. And Mickey, that is so true. So if you're going to do something, do it right.
Do it right. Exactly. Because, and you said, too, we have to do the work. We can want something. We can pray for it. We can move forward. But one of my favorite parables is God feeds the birds, but he doesn't drop the food in the nest. So we have to go out and take action, move forward, and listen to the guidance. My personal life mission is in faith and confidence to align with divine intent and serve as a beacon for others. So for me to align with divine intent, that means I have to take action. That means I have to keep moving forward. But listen, because there's a light on my feet. There's a light on my feet that shines forward, and those are the directions that I'm going to go. So it's, life is amazing. Life is amazing.
Wow, that is amazing. And it's great, Mickey, that we can be here for each other. And it gives us hope. We know that there's mm-hmm. good people in life. And it's a funny thing. Once you start praying and you seem to see things clear and you start to do the right thing, and once you do the right thing, then you start to become proud of yourself. You start to feel better about yourself. You get a better self-esteem. And everything just comes into place. Like, for example, I've learned to appreciate everything in life. You know that we are every day underneath this beautiful blue sky, but that's all we know. So all we know is a beautiful blue sky, and that's a given, correct? But the sky could have been green or purple or orange or yellow. And it could have had dirty clouds all the time. And there's so much beauty in this world. And we don't realize that each and every one of us are so very blessed. And we have so much potential. And we're so special. And we just have to tap into that.
I agree. That's right.
But anyhow, Mickey, all we can do is try to be there for one another, because I think that's the whole idea. That's what God calls us to do.
I was reading some things in the internet, and it's something that made an impression. Mickey, you said somewhere, where did I read it? In website, that you have the suggestion you tried it. Discover yourself, but you try to new thing a week, one thing every week for a year.
Right.
See, that's a good idea, right?
Uh-huh.
So
that's
maybe
a great idea.
You just, what do you do? Like, can you explain a little bit?
Sure. It's something that one of my coaches suggested. When I had decided that I was divorcing my abuser, I'd lived there for 34 years. I married him when I was 18.
Wow.
So in the process, I allowed myself to be totally washed away. I say it's like a rock in a stream. You know, the water runs over it, and over the years, the rock's worn away. Well, I allowed that to happen to myself. So at 53, I said, who the heck am I? Who am I? So one of my coaches suggested that I do something new every week to discover, what do I like? What do I like? What do I not like? Where am I strong? Where am I not? So I did some things that were a giant, like I went on the world's highest sky swing because I'm afraid of heights. So in Kissimmee, Florida, there's a sky swing, and they take you up the height of a length of a football field, and then you pull a lever and you fall, and then you swing. And man, it was amazing. So that was one of the things I did. And some of them are small things, like I had never worn a toe ring, so I got a couple toe rings, and for a week I wore toe rings. Actually, I kind of liked that, so I extended it. But there were all kinds of new things. I took fly fishing lessons. I'd never fly fished. I thought, well, that looks interesting. I'm a golfer, and I thought fly fishing is similar. It's a single sport, you know, an individual sport. So I did that. I started reading new authors.
Wow, Mickey, you're so funny. But what was your turning point? What was the time that light bulb went in on your head after suffering for so many years that you say, hey, I deserve something better. Things need to be different. What was it that brought you there?
Well, the light bulb was that for years and years, I told myself
that the next time I'm bruised, my abuse was emotional, financial, and physical. So I said, the next time I'm bruised, I'm leaving. The next time I'm bruised, I'm leaving. Well, in that process, over the years that I told myself that, also my self-confidence grew because I began to embrace personal growth, but also I began reading the Bible and kind of building my spiritual side, too. So one day in, 16 years ago in November, I was sitting in my favorite chair. My husband came home. He was furious. I don't even know what he was mad about. But he grabbed me by the arms in my chair, and he started slamming me against the back of the chair, and I was getting bruised on my arms. And that was the turning point. It was like a light bulb went off in my head and said, you don't deserve this. You don't have to put up with this. This is not where you're supposed to be. I thought I was in that relationship because God wanted me to help my husband, that I was the strong one, that I could keep him between the lines, that I could, that I was the only one who understood him. And at that moment, I knew that was not true, that there were bigger things in my life for me to do. And it took me four more months after that light bulb went off, after that inspiration, that intuitive nudge. And I believe it was God saying, okay, you've done this long enough. It's time to go on.
That's
so
true.
So that was
good
it. It took me 4 months, but then I did it. And again, I had allowed myself to be lost, so I started doing new things. And I found new churches. I tried new churches. I did all different kinds of things every week, something new that I had never done before. And that changed. That helped me become me. And also, I got involved in masterminds. Are you familiar with mastermind?
No, I've never heard of it.
Masterminds are groups of people. It's based on biblical. Two or more people together, a third mind is formed. And so it's really the group agrees spiritually to be connected and to help each other. And I was in a mastermind group, and one of the people, part of what we described was where do we want to live? What's our mission as far as living? Where would we like to be? At the time, I lived in Central Illinois, and I said, I want to live in Florida, and I want to have a beach house. I want to have a beach house. So that was what I prayed for. That's what I held on to. And at the time I was single, for 14 years, had no intention of ever getting married again. Lo and behold, guess what God brought me? God brought me a connection with a gentleman that I had not seen in 50 years. We dated in high school. And I believe God had us together as teenagers so that we'd be ready when we got back together for real. But so
called
for 50
fate.
Years.
That's
50
called
years,
fate.
Yeah, hey. So I did not, I kept holding on to, I want to live on the beach, I know it's going to happen, I don't know how, I can't afford to live on the beach, how is this going to happen, it doesn't matter, this is where I'm going to be. Well, I hooked up with my current husband, Alan, wonderful, wonderful man. He contacted me online, we started talking, and we just talked on the phone for about 6 months before we ever even met face to face. But in one of those conversations, he said, and I have a house on the beach. I thought, what? And this is where I'm saying, this is something better, because I wanted a house on the beach. Well, I got that. It's in Connecticut. It's not in Florida like I thought it was going to be. It's in Connecticut. But along with it came this marvelous, marvelous, centered, loving, caring, fabulous husband. So there you go. You know,
it's amazing what happens once you turn to God, how your life changes for the better. It's not that challenges stop happening. You just handle it better. Your reactions are better. You learn to appreciate life more. All of a sudden, you feel more blessed. And things do get better for you. They really do. And for those who are just tuning in, this is The Cure. You're listening to The Cure. I'm your host, Amy Cabo. And our call-in number is 305-541-2350 if you'd like to call in and share your story or speak to us.
I couldn't fight anymore, and I wouldn't lie anymore. Of the truth that I couldn't ignore, I wouldn't fight in this war. No,
difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals from a very sincere and honest position Amy Cabo's life, a warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on www.godisthecure.com or buying her book on amazon.com. And now we continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure on 880 The Biz.
Welcome back to the show. If you're just tuning in, this is The Cure, and I'm Amy Cabo, your host on 880 The Biz. I'm joined by Dr. Boris Nikolov and also Mika Zeta from Surviving Abuse. We've been basically discovering trauma and suffering and ways to overcome it, not only ways that you can believe in yourself and know that you deserve better and know that you love better, but most importantly, if you've given all hope, even in yourself, know that God loves you and that there's somebody that cares and there's somebody worth doing the right thing for, because somebody's taking notice even when nobody else notices. God always notices, and you'd be amazed the way that you're blessed if you're faithful and loyal to God's teachings. So Mickey, I wanted to tell you thank you so very, very, very much for joining us today. How can people reach you or listen to your podcasts or email you or buy your book? Could you tell us?
All that is available on my website, which is survivingabusenetwork.com. Survivingabusenetwork.com. So you can go there. I have a free form there that's called Was I Really Abused? You can download that. Also, listen to my podcasts, watch live videos, and read articles and things. And my book is available on Amazon. It's called, like you said, Looking Behind Closed Doors. It's on Amazon and Kindles and in paperback.
And I believe you wanted to share something with us, Boris, about the number you wanted to share.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to share a couple of numbers for everybody that might need it. So if you think that you're abused, you can always call an 800 number. There is many of them, but for example, 877-855-1246. Or you can call the National Domestic Violence Hotline, which is 1-800-799-7233. And that can be completely anonymous, and they can help you and guide you to make a decision or get out of the abusive situation as soon as possible. So there is help. And if you are worried that something is happening to you, just call one of these numbers and there is going to be somebody to help.
And of course, if it's an emergency, definitely call 911.
Right.
And I know that we've come to an end of another show, and thank you everyone for tuning in. But I wanted to leave you with something that I found was very interesting. I am very fond of this preacher, Priscilla Schreier, and she makes an analogy, because we cannot avoid suffering in life. Get this, it's not so bad. She puts it this way. It's called, put on the armor of God and you can defeat any dark forces.
That an eagle can actually sense a storm before it comes. Somehow they are able to innately determine that a storm is on the way well before it gets there. And so in advance of a storm actually coming, the eagle will lock its wings steadily in place in preparation for the storm. They will go to a high point, get secure, and settle there, and then they will, at the right time, lock their wings in place. So when the storm hits, the eagle's wings are already set. They are locked and secure, so that when that turbulent wind begins to pick up speed, the eagle actually uses the wind of the storm to lift them above it. So that while the storm is raging and raging below, the winds of the storm are actually benefiting the eagle and causing it to fly higher than ever before. It doesn't escape the storm. The storm is still raging. It can't make the storm go away. It simply uses the elements of the storm to help it go higher.
Mm-hmm. stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, 'cause we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say, no one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious. When the sharpest words wanna cut me down, I'm gonna send a flood. This is me. Look out, 'cause here I come. And I'm marching on to the beat I drum. I'm not scared to be seen. I make no apologies. This is me.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals from a very sincere and honest position Amy Cabo's life, a warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on www.godisthecure.com or buying her book on amazon.com.
The Cure with Amy Cabo was brought to you by IMIC Research, 786-310-7477 or www.godisthecure.com. Tune in every Friday at 2 p.m. for The Cure with Amy Cabo right here on 880 The Biz.